Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'd like to join my Malaysian colleague in warmly thanking both General Cartwright and Mr. Ingram for their presentations. I like very much the idea of framing this discussion around the utility of nuclear weapons, because utility goes beyond security considerations, and some often we narrow our discussions on the security, what the so-called security dimension, and we tend to forget other dimensions. And I think the discussion merits go deeper and wider. So we welcome this framing this issue like that. Now, Mr. Ingram in particular mentioned the importance of dialogue and discussions and the utility of Security Council engaging in discussing these issues often. But you probably noticed, both of you, the absence of the five nuclear possessor states from participating in this open-ended working group. The decision to, for no better work, to boycott this open-ended working group. So what do you think about that? What are the prospects of having a true dialogue when they shy away from the opportunity to engage in with the rest of us, with the rest of the community? Now, Mr. Ingram referred also to the modernization program in the U.S. The U.S., and I would love to hear more about that, because I think the way you frame it, Mr. Ingram, in saying that it seems to be designed to fight and to win a nuclear war, and that you can argue goes against of the notion of deterrence per se, and the political rhetoric that nuclear weapons are not meant to be used, but rather to protect the security. The U.S. is rightly proud of the reduction in numbers of its arsenal, but we very rarely have the conversation or the discussion of the not only the quantitative part of it, but also the qualitative part. And you can easily argue that one weapon with today's technology would do much more harm than many hundreds of weapons of the early technology. And therefore, the comparison between quantity and quality, addressing both quality and quantity, not only quantity, I think, is paramount to really understand and value whether we are in a better place today or not than we were in the 60s. Because modernization of nuclear weapons, particularly this new program, is likely to increase the potential of causing damage, the risk, and the potential of eliminating humanity. So I would like both of you to go deeper into it and also discuss the implications, whether or not there is a serious questioning to the doctrine of deterrence and what lies at the heart of the country, and the doctrine of deterrence, whether the modernization not only questions the rhetoric, but also the whole doctrine as such. Finally, going back to the question of utility, I love for you to elaborate to ask. Maybe it's not a straightforward answer. Whether the flaws, the dangers, the risks of possessing nuclear weapons have outweighed with the development of new technology, new weapons, new techniques that do not contemplate mass destruction, with these new technologies available, have nuclear weapons render themselves useless for, not for the rest of us, because they are useless for the rest of us, but useless for the possessors themselves. Because there are new technologies that are cheaper, easier, less risky, less damaging. Forget about the moral argument, which for us is first and foremost. I'm trying to get into the minds of those who don't even bother to consider the moral implications, just simply for a military point of view, whether nuclear weapons have become useless. And if they so, if that's the case, what would be the motivation for keeping them, for holding on to them? Are these political considerations, as one delegation referred to it yesterday? Are these sentimental, emotional considerations? What are they? Because it's hard to understand if they are not serving the purpose they were meant to serve anymore than, and probably never serve, only twice, very unfortunately, in Japan, horribly. What are the motivations? Thank you.